this was supposed to be. Elementary school, so he had three kids. And he chose what the teacher was, but he only got every second week.
Okay.
So he went there full time, and there was a long
Well,
the janitors were taking.
He never had to do it before.
He had one, I guess.
I felt like that after my husband died. A car battery? What do I know about, you know, or a water heater? No. But you learn to ask, you know, like he did.
Yeah, that must have been
a good idea. Change, particularly for this art major, you know.
We're online now. Oh, yeah? You don't want to grab that and just bring it over there real quick? Bring it over there real quick. Yeah, it's live now.
I got to breathe back.
You're going to hold a meeting, huh?
Are you talking to me? It looks like we're just having a luncheon.
well, you're set up there.
Yeah.
We're having some trouble with this. Every kid keeps asking for house lights. And then when we try to put in any of the passwords we know, it doesn't work. So we don't want to put them in because we figure eventually it's going to go.
You're going to have to sort out what's going on with the Apple ID, though. You want to verify that specifically that what you're using is working. And the easiest way I know for you to do that is go to the website iCloud.com and sign in with your Apple ID. And that'll verify for you whether you've got the right password or not.
Okay, and if you don't?
If you don't, then you're going to have to go through the forgot password. Let me introduce us and get started. I see Judy's hands up already. Good morning, everybody! Muchas gracias por venir en este clima. Está bien feo. I can't believe you guys are here. It is so ugly out. There is a Rich's running around here. Richard, go back to that puddle. Go back to that puddle because I want to get it on screen. There is a puddle in the area where we normally meet. So we have impromptu met in this part of the. And if you miss taking a look out there later, you can look at the video because I got Rich out there shooting video off of that cell phone camera back to the YouTube video that I'm streaming right now. So there's buckets and puddles, and I wish I had a monitor because you guys could see what he's looking at right now.
People aren't supposed to bring their TV.
Ooh.
Oh, who's playing?
What crazy weather. Well, thank you for showing up. This is the San Carlos Computer Club, and I am Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions. And I'm here to answer any of your tech questions. if not intelligent, hopefully delightful. And Judy's yes. already got her.
I have a report.
You have a report, okay.
The book that I was talking about AI, artificial intelligence, is Crucible by James Rollins.
Crucible.
Spell it. Crucible. Oh. How hard is that?
Crucible is the book about AI.
By James Rollins.
James Rollins. All right.
Crucible.
Crucible. I'm gonna, and it's very scary. Look into the future of AI. What's happening right now? What's his last name again? James
Rollins.
James Rollins. I'll make a note of that.
Is it on Roy's book list? Yes, it is.
Well, I'm so happy to see so many people brave this weather to come out and join us. What, stay inside? I mean, this is... What, say that again, Gary?
My car needed washing.
Your car needed washing. You pull it out of the carport. This is one of those days, one of 3 days a year I pull out a raincoat. Rob and I appreciate you being here. Well, I have come with a load of questions and unprepared. There's right off the top of the meeting, let me say, I didn't mention to Yuya about coming in and talking to us until this morning. She said she's very interested in coming in next week to talk to you about immigration status and the senior card and all that. If you guys want to, we'll just plan on it for next week. If anybody has a conflict with it, she's willing to come the following week instead.
Well, we are going to be in Tucson next week.
Anybody else have a conflict with next week? Does anybody have a conflict with in 2 weeks? You guys will be back, right?
We'll be back.
Say that again?
Nobody knows what happens 2 weeks from
now. Well, we will know that you y'all will be here in 2 weeks if we decide on this. Okay, I just need a consensus on next week or the week after. No. Next week?
Either's fine with me.
Either here or there. Robin, I'll record it for you. Okay. All right. So that's taken care of. I did not bring Gmail tips, which I said last week I would. But I did discover that they do have a rules system in Gmail under filtering. And if you go into your Gmail under settings, you look across that bar of that tab bar, one of them will say filtering. And if you click on that, you can set up email filters. Yes, Bob.
Could we just have one person talking in the room because you can't hear the echo that's going on?
We're so spread out that it's very hard to hear who's talking. Would anybody like to move up closer or just speak up so that we can hear what you're saying?
I hear better here.
It's a weird situation for today's meeting. Jim.
Did you find out about Facebook?
I did. With Facebook, there is in the timeline, what is it called? I wrote it down. But what I did not find, if somebody finds a way to do this, let me know. I did not find a way to permanently set it. Facebook has two different ways of filtering your timeline. One of them is a customized, and you can go through and you can put check marks on your contacts that are the most important to you. And so you can put a check mark on, like, mom or businesses or whatever it is that you want to have popping up at the very top of your feed. You can go into customize your feed, and it brings up this thumbnail grid of all your contacts, and you scroll through that and you just put a check mark on each one that matters to you, and then it'll prioritize by that. And then on the left side of the feed, there's a news feed option, and if you click that, it'll allow you to choose Now I'm forgetting what they called it. Darn it. You can choose either by time or by Facebook's algorithm, and neither of those is the correct terminology. Oh, and I didn't write it down. Let me get into Facebook and I'll tell you.
And how do you get to it? Go to the timeline or?
Yeah, the timeline. Oh, and I got to sign in. Hold on, I guess I wasn't ready for this.
So Facebook timeline,
yeah.
Customizing.
Yeah, Facebook timeline customizing. And the reason this topic has been brought up is because we wanted to take more control over what gets shown on Facebook. People were talking about, I've experienced it myself, where their algorithm gets so accustomed to you liking or commenting on the same pictures or events that those are regurgitated. It's the same people always, and you're missing your family, you're missing things that you consider to be important. And
I don't see where I can do that on.
I'm trying to bring it up. I'm sorry, it's just not coming up for me. Hold on.
Where do you go?
The timeline. And there's two different places to go. And I'm fighting to get mine up.
Settings of privacy?
No. But I will tell you specifically, if you give me a moment. Talks amongst yourselves.
Okay, so the timeline is what, when I log on to Facebook, that's where my home page is. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Oh, we're just having internet issues.
Of course, it's raining.
Yeah, it's raining, and we're in Mexico.
Keep going.
That's amazing. We're not going anywhere right now. Is anybody on? Oh, did it work? Did it work? It just popped. Yeah, it doesn't seem to be an issue here. It seems to be a Telmex issue. Probably legitimately because it's raining.
Well, I had to quit twice this morning before I
left home. Say that again, Gary?
My internet quit twice this morning.
Oh, yeah? It just went down on you twice?
For a little while, and it came back on, and it went down again.
And I'm just waiting for Facebook. Oh, yeah, well, you would.
I can get on my timeline, but I can't go anywhere else.
Where do you go on your timeline?
We don't know yet.
There is
reading. I think it's like a cone.
People like it.
Yeah, I don't think it's just Facebook. I'm trying to go other places. It actually looks to me like a DNS issue. But I'm going to leave a page trying to bring up Facebook, and if it ever does, I'll be able to tell you. And I can bring that again next week. The way I remember it is on the right, there's a settings that you go to. There's some pull down on the right, and it has to do with customizing the timeline.
Privacy and logout. I don't think that's it.
You got the timeline up? Go into settings. That's it. Go into settings. No, I don't have it up.
It won't load settings.
Yeah, see, we're just having too much internet problems. But I think in settings, what happens is it brings up this dialogue. It has like six things. They have graphics punctuating each thing. And the top one is customize your timeline. The top is customize your timeline. It's some language like that. And when you click on it, it brings up this map, this table of all these heads, all the thumbnails of your contacts. And then you put check marks on the ones that matter.
the ones you want to keep.
The ones that are of the highest priority. So, like, if every time you go onto Facebook, what you want to make sure you're seeing, or here's the way I would deal with it, is if you're frustrated because you're not getting your daughter's pictures, or you're getting some news source, they're not showing up for you, then you might just start by making sure those are checkmarked. Everything else will fall under Facebook's algorithm. But those ones that you checked will be the very first things you see.
There's also a see first place that you can go and select who you want to see first, but that doesn't work.
I think that we're talking about the same thing.
Well, it doesn't work that well.
Okay.
I have a see first, and I have certain
I do, and I don't see those people first.
I know that I use the same thing for news sources, and I always see those news sources first. Like, I've clicked on pages like the Limas News here, so every time I come into Facebook, I get to see their latest reports.
Well, can I ask a stupid question?
Always.
Do you do it in your main computer, like not on your phone? That's what I think here. Because I'm not seeing that stuff in here.
Yeah, I haven't tried it on the phone. I've only looked at the main computer.
I think that's where it is.
Yeah. And then let's continue using that same language. In your main computer, that's where on the left, under your profile picture, there's a pull down. I think it's timeline options. And if you click on there, you can, and I don't remember the language, but it's like the top one is the Facebook algorithm, and the next one after that is in chronological order.
Yeah, that's not even on the phone.
And so on the chronological order, it would be the very last thing that was posted would be the very first thing you saw. Yeah, last in, first out is what we would call that.
Can I ask a question also?
Yes.
We were back to Gmail.
Well, junk mail, we were having some control. Oh, back to the Gmail issue. I never did find a turn off, turn medium, turn strong, which does exist in Outlook. What I found was the filtering. I'll dig into it more. But they are filtering. They are filtering. You have no control. I finally started doing some Google Signal. I like, what happens if you don't want any filtering? What if you want to get all the spam is what I'm thinking. What if I just want to turn it off? And you use their filter to turn it all off. And what you have to do is you have to set a filter rule that reads, is:spam. Don't move to spam filter. Google is consistently, always, filtering your email, looking for what it thinks is spam, and putting it in your spam folder. And the only way to stop that, like turn it off, is to say anything you think is spam isn't spam. Does that make sense? Well, I'm trying to give you a spectrum of your control. They are not giving you any control to turn it off. So, like, a good example, like, you've got Outlook, you do Gmail through Outlook. What shows up in your Outlook is what's left over after they finished filtering it. And I agree with you, I think they do such a great job. But if you are an organization, you might find that many of your correspondents are looking like junk mail to Google's junk mail filter and never reaching your Outlook installation. And so that would be a way you could turn it completely off.
Okay, but what I do is, for example, I'll get into my Gmail account every now and then, and then I say there are 500 spam emails.
Mm-hmm.
I will go through the first 50 and maybe find one, usually none.
No.
And I'll just eliminate all 500.
Yeah.
Right. In fact, I don't even bother to go into a spam folder any longer unless I've got somebody telling me, hey, I sent you something and you didn't get it.
Usually, it's all about getting money from someplace. They've got money for you, your special person.
So I can erase this note on filter.
I believe so, yeah. Email? Yes, Bob.
I'm interested in knowing, sometimes you get stuff from
important sources. And is it legal if they say, I have a homeless
situation,
and they say, we sent it out in an email to you. Is it legal to have, if they sent it out, they say they sent it out.
Is it a check in the mail? Is that what you're saying?
No, just a notice.
Right. I think I'm not a legal expert, so I don't know what legally, but I know that you could be breaching, they would be within their terms of service if you signed something with a check mark, like you opted into their terms of service, and they said that they were going to correspond important information through email. So, if you'd done that, then you would be within their terms of service. And so you couldn't sue them because they only tried to contact you through email. That's the way I understand it. But as far as legality, I don't know. Yeah. Well, yeah, and then you're subject to every different country's rules and that kind of stuff. I mean, what kind of claim you actually have.
My question about Gmail really, I think, is related to my husband's laptop.
Okay.
You can open anything rapidly except Gmail. It's like you open Gmail and you go make yourself a cup of coffee and come back.
Has he had that experience in a different browser?
I haven't tried that.
Yeah, you might try a different browser. If you're using Chrome, try Edge. If you
okay.
Maggie was saying that her husband's experience with Gmail is one where she can't. It takes forever to load up Gmail.
Just Gmail.
Just
everything
Gmail.
Else
everything
Gmail.
Else is fine.
Well, lately something must be wrong with their app.
Well, this is the web page we're talking about.
Okay. Well, something must be wrong with their app because it doesn't load up, and then you hit all boxes. And then it loads up. And then the next time you go to open it, it won't load on the all boxes. You have to go back to the inbox. I don't know. They must have something wrong with it.
Well, it doesn't do that. It just takes forever. And it doesn't do that on my laptop or any of our other devices.
That's weird.
Just his
laptop. Yeah.
We've taken it to Sony, and
she
did her magic, and it still doesn't work.
Did it have the same latency in the office? Did you guys test
no,
it there?
It opened right up.
It opened right up. So it is definitely, it's your internet connection, probably coupled with Google not saving those tools that are used to build the client in the web browser. That kind of offline mode that you could understand it taking a long time the very first time. But those tools are supposed to then exist in the browser, and they're supposed to be re-referenced unless they've been rebuilt.
So try a new browser.
Well, you might try a new browser. What you might find is clearing the browser you're using, letting it take that long time to set it up, and then trying it again might just work. It might be that there's some cookie, there's something in the history.
Okay.
But the easiest way to determine whether it's that kind of problem is try another browser.
Okay.
I would expect it to be slow the first time you try it in a different browser, but then after that I would expect it to be much faster.
Or it's another IP that might be
the
problem. Say again?
Forcing another IP to be used might fix it.
You're thinking there might be a problem on the local area network?
Well.
Everything else is working. It's just the Gmail program. All other web pages are opening just fine. It's the laptop and.
Particularly if it's a laptop, you might want to. It might even be the wireless connection stuff. The wireless connection.
It could be pretty nuanced if that's the case. You would have to be comparing like light sites, like all the other sites that are working would have to be considerably lighter than the Gmail site that's being brought up.
What about page predictions? I wonder if she has that stacked in there.
Page predictions?
It says on Google, I'm on here now, on Gmail.
Yeah.
Use page predictions. Preload pages for faster loading and offline reading.
And you're thinking that she's got it turned on or turned off?
Maybe she's got it turned off.
off. Yeah. And so how do I turn it on? Where do I look for that?
Go into the privacy. Go into settings and go into privacy.
Okay.
And there's a whole list of things. All I have is check with safe browsing and use page predictions.
Okay.
And then down at the bottom, you can clear the browser.
Thank you.
So there's a bunch of possibilities.
Okay. Thank you.
Have we got other topics that we should?
Yeah. He has a suggestion about her.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, might it just be reverse? You have a check one way, he has a check the other.
Yeah, that's actually when Linda mentioned, that's what I meant, was either it's on or it's off, just try it the reverse.
The page prediction, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you find the setting, and if it's off, turn it on. If it's on, turn it off.
I have never looked to see if that's on. No, I just have my phone.
Yeah, on your phone.
But we're talking about his laptop.
Usually, if you check on Gmail, you check it in one place. It's in every place.
Okay. You're talking about between the app and the website?
On the website, on the app, excuse me. Go to Google and then the three dots at the top.
Yeah.
And then at the bottom, go to settings.
Well, do we have other topics we want to bring up? I brought a list of little stuff. Yes.
So I was reading on USA Today that you can change and not use Siri as your search. You can actually use Hey Google. So I tried to change it like they said to go into my settings on my Apple devices, but it doesn't seem to work the way they say it does.
It works on my tablet.
I tried it on my
You
tablet.
Have an
no.
iPad tablet?
No.
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 No. No. I'm talking
Android.
Yeah, this is specifically using a Google service.
Saying, hey, Siri, and having Siri not understand, actually, it just answered me, but not understand what I'm saying, or you can use Hey Google, which is supposed to be more intuitive.
So on the Apple devices, unless they've changed something recently, the way I've understood it is that you have to start the app yourself. So you have to install Google Search, and
not
then
Google Search.
Okay Google.
Okay, whatever it is.
Yeah, okay Google. But you start that app, and then you can start doing voice chats with it, voice searches with it.
Because the way it said this morning on USA Today is that you go in and change your settings, and it actually automatically, all you have to say is, hey, Google, and it will load that and start there.
Well, that is new to me, but we should look for it.
I will
okay.
Google.
Because that is really where we want to go with all this stuff, is we want whoever's doing the best job to be the one we can choose for.
Which definitely is not Siri.
Yeah, Siri is not. Siri's real good for some things, but not all things. I'm having such a weird experience over here. Oh, cool. Finally, back and working. It is a DNS issue.
Where can I send this to you so you get it? What's your message?
Scott@sccclub.org should come to me. And I'm imagining what would have had to have happened is that Apple would have had to have agreed to open up that space so that it could be replaced with a third party. I have trouble believing that. I mean, I really want to read it because I can check. It doesn't look like it has come in. Oh, what's this? No, that's different.
No.
Let me check the other email account.
I sent it to Scott, S-C-O-P-T.
At sccclub.org. It should come.
I forgot that. Okay. As a message, right?
Wait, are you sending me a messenger?
Uh-huh.
Like Facebook?
I'm sending you a message like a text.
Like a text message to my phone.
Oh, give me that number.
No, I'm not understanding what you're doing, Judy. I'm trying to give you the right stuff.
I'm sending you a text message.
I gave you my email address.
Okay, so that won't
work. Okay. So are you trying to send me a text message using iMessenger?
Yes.
Okay, I don't have iMessenger. So you would have to use my phone number. And I don't think can your pad send two phone numbers? Like, are you sending iMessages to Android phones? Yeah?
He's our tech expert down here. I'll send you just an email. That'll be much easier.
Is the password here the keyless?
Yes.
With an S?
Yes. With no apostrophe.
Can I send it to internationalcsi@gmail.com?
Yep, that's fine too.
If that happens to be here, I have to find
that.
Cool. Anyway, your article says that you can go into your settings for Siri and change it so that it actually will recognize you saying, hey, Google, and it'll go to Google.
Well, that's great.
I thought it was interesting that it didn't seem to work.
It doesn't work?
It doesn't seem to work.
It doesn't seem to work. All right, well, I'm going to have to take a look at it later because it's not coming in on the email yet. And I would blame internet for that. But that would be a neat change because that's what they were trying for with Cortana. Cortana is a dead product now. It's actually a skill on Amazon. Microsoft is going to continue to build Cortana as a assistant, but it's going to be an add-on assistant. And so they're not going to be putting it into speakers and things like that. Yeah, Bob.
What other subjects do you have?
Sure. I got a couple of quick ones here if you guys are interested. I found this great tip from a YouTuber named Theo Joe. This morning he was talking about Amazon shipping, and he enlightened me to something I didn't realize. Did you know that Amazon has a slew of products that it will ship to you with the contents exposed? They won't. They actually will show up, and they'll have a shipping label on the actual device's native packaging. Am I saying that right? Yeah, I didn't realize that. Everything I get through Amazon comes through an Amazon box, but you can look for this. Actually, there's no change in price from what I've seen. I mean, what it is it's a request that you can make to make sure it goes into an Amazon box. And if you weren't aware of this, I thought you guys might want to be aware of this because there is the potential of neighbors and strangers seeing what you're getting delivered to you. Yeah, Jim.
If you look at the site, it says it'll tell you whether Amazon is sending it to you or whether or not Scott from whatever, you just bought it from him. Those are the ones that will usually send it to you in the box with the label because it's cheaper. Amazon, for the most part, does put it in their own box.
I wonder if these are two different topics because what I'm talking about is actually at the processing point where it's asking for your billing information and how much the shipping is going to take, where you're picking your shipping. Below that, if this is one of those products that ships in its native packaging, there's an option to put it in an Amazon box, and you just need to checkbox it. And from what Theo Joe is saying is there's no change in cost. I would imagine what they're doing is they're playing with the idea of saving money by not having to provide these boxes, and they want to see how much it bothers people.
It's also about weight, shipping weight.
Yeah. I mean, I think we could speculate all over the issue. I think on our side of things, if you're ordering something you don't want the rest of the world to see getting delivered, make sure you've checked that box.
All of that weight thing, Amazon recently told manufacturers of liquid soaps and stuff, make your containers filled to the top and make them smaller so that it will cut out 2 or 3 ounces on every bottle being shipped.
What is this?
In other words, the actual container of soap, liquid soap you get from Amazon through their service is different from the way you see on a shelf at a store.
I don't know.
It's going to be smaller and full of liquid than I have been facing them because of weight.
Huh, I never heard that before.
When we bought it, we got bags of soap.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is we save our last container that we had and just fill up the container again.
Oh, so you're using an economic, a disposable, but you pour it back into your kept container.
Speaking of economics, I got my Amazon bill yesterday for Prime.
Oh, yeah.
And it's up 20%.
Is this the U.S. bill?
Yeah.
Up 20%? So they did talk about raising the price. What was the final price on it?
$129 per year.
Wow. Got to think about that.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Did you see that DirecTV is going to raise their price again?
To what? $500? What is it now?
Yeah, they're just balancing out with the worth of money at the moment. They're changing for inflation. Aren't you asking your boss for a raise? You should be. I mean, he should be paying you a relationship in relation to.
Trying to pay for that building they have to
Well, anyway, I thought that was a good tip. I'd never heard anything about that. It's something I'm going to start looking for because I like getting it in Amazon boxes. Nobody needs to see what I'm buying.
One other impact of a big business like Amazon, about 3 years ago, the recycling of cardboard was about ready to hit a tipping point where it wasn't going to be worth doing anymore because there wasn't enough cardboard going around. And when Amazon really got popular with Prime, it changed that. Equation. So cardboard is again
a recyclable. All right. I guess. There are jobs in all that, so why not? I've got some other one-offs. Let's see. MacBook Pros. Anybody that has a MacBook Pro from 2016-2017? These are the MacBook Pros that took over the old design with the new thin design. So they've been showing up with a screen problem that I wanted to make everybody aware of that it might affect you, Judy. It will start out as they call it a stage lighting effect, where LEDs, like every other LED, goes out at the bottom of the screen. And it projects light in a stage light kind of effect across the screen. It's a horrible sign because it means that eventually the screen's going to die. It's a bending problem, and the speculation is it's the cable. And the reason it's iFixit speculates it's the cable is because they tore apart a 2018 and found a longer cable. So they found the exact same design as the 2016-2017. The only thing they've done is they've extended the cable, made it longer. So there isn't a recall yet, but it's to keep an eye on. And if it's still under Apple Care, the moment you start having screen problems, you should really deal with it because it's insanely expensive to have that. That problem is a problem of regular use and poor design. And if you didn't get Apple Care, you're looking at $100 to $300 repair. So I'll put a link to this issue on the website so it can be referred back to, and we'll keep an eye on this issue throughout time because Apple has not said whether they're going to offer recall on this problem specifically or extend AppleCare specifically. But it's another one of these. You have an insanely expensive computer, and they have done crummy quality control on it. So you want to be very aware of it, and you want to be shouting when you start having problems, and you want to support the people that are shouting, because it's insane to have a $1,500 computer having a problem like that after only 2 years. Yeah.
Okay, on Windows 10, for people on your touchpad...
On your touchpad?
On your laptop.
Okay.
The mouse is moving.
The mouse is moving without touching it?
Right, with my two buttons.
Yeah, the button.
Left and the right.
Yeah.
They stopped working. So I started researching it. I went in. I took it all out. Somebody said something about it quitting in Windows for the last update. So I went in. I went to all their help things. I took it out of device manager. I let it put it back in. Still doesn't work. And I looked in the touchpad, and I thought, well, maybe there was something that wasn't hooked up. I undid my other mouse, regular mouse. I took it out to see if there was just something wrong. Still won't work, so the left click doesn't work anymore on my touchpad, and I don't know what to do. But the right click does? No, only the mouse works.
But neither one of the buttons are.
Don't work.
So this is a frustrating suggestion because it's. I mean, you have to know how to build a live CD. But if you had brought that problem into our shop,
yeah.
We would have taken immediately before doing any of that with Windows. And first, we would make sure regular mouse would work because you know it's a Windows problem. If your Windows if a regular Windows mouse doesn't work. It's suffering from the same problem the touchpad is. It's very unlikely that it wouldn't work. We'd shut it down, and we'd start the system up on what's called a live CD. And there are live CDs all over the Internet. Most of them are Linux-based. They're Ubuntu installations. But what this is an entire operating system that you can keep on a USB stick or on a DVD, and you can load up all the hardware with this other operating system. And we would do it only long enough to determine that it was working, that the buttons do work in that other operating system. If they don't work in the other operating system, then you know you have a hardware problem. And so you'd be looking at replacing those buttons, replacing that trackpad.
Yeah, so, I was just thinking if I blow it out with air.
Yeah.
Air,
yeah, but that's what you're looking at is a hardware repair. Something like maybe a cleaning could take care of it. Maybe I don't know the state of your laptop, whether people have gotten into it in the past. I mean, maybe you have a loose cable in there. But the very first thing we would do is make sure that it's not a software problem. And we wouldn't do that by pulling things out of the software. We'd just load up a live CD. And that would give me an opportunity to verify all the hardware in it. Make sure the keyboards work and make sure the mouses work. That's what we do with any of these problems. If the sound isn't working, we load up a live CD and see if sound works. Because if it doesn't work in another operating system, then it's more than likely a hardware problem that's the issue.
Okay, so the other issue that I'm having is I went into Windows Update.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and now there's a red...
Oh, I've been waiting for one of you guys to have this problem.
So that's and it's on both our laptops.
Okay.
So I went and checked the other laptop, and it's on both the laptops, so I went in and I started looking that up.
So what Linda's describing is a problem that showed up a couple months ago, where you get your Windows 10. And for those of you that don't know, Microsoft has more versions of Windows out there than they've ever had before. And you thought it was complicated when it was XP, Windows 2000, Windows NT, Windows 7, Windows Vista. Now they've got multiple versions of Windows 10 out there. And so you have Windows 10, 1703, you have Windows 10, 1803, you have Windows 10, 1809. There's a new one that's coming out soon, and there's also a 1503 that I forgot to mention, and a 1604 that I forgot to mention. Depending on the compatibility of the computer you're working on, you're on one of those versions of Windows 10. There is an upgrade to the 1803 version that kills your ability to get to the update server.
Okay.
Using the DNS addressing information that you have by default. The problem is, if the problem has to do with using Prodigy as a DNS and trying to go to the Windows Update servers, the solution is to there's two different things you have to do. You have to disable IP version 6 in your network adapter.
I did that.
Okay, that's the very first thing you do, and it's because if you don't, then you can't go around the DNS that's being presented to you.
The reason I didn't then, give you that was I was having a problem with the mesh system.
Oh, it didn't like your... Okay.
They said to get rid of version 6.
Sure, I got no problems turning off version 6. Version 6 doesn't do anything for you. You're not going to go faster using IP version 6 version IP, versus IP version 4. All it's doing is getting us ready for this new addressing scheme. But turning it off isn't going to hurt you. Then you need to go into your IP settings under version 4 and manually set your DNS.
I did that.
You set it to
8844.
To Google. Okay, I was using the Cloudflare service, 1.1.1.1
yeah.
And 8.8.8.8. So the backup was 8.8.8.8. And then restart the computer, and it should work.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you restart it?
Yeah.
After you set the IP addresses?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll try it with the Cloudflare addresses then, because it did work.
Can you use that, or do you have to join Cloudflare?
You don't have to. You can just put it in there.
Put in the 1.1.1.
Yeah.
And 8.8.8.8. Because I have 8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.8.
one. But the 8888 should go around it. And the way I set it up was I did Cloudflare first, and then I as the primary DNS, and then I put, and that worked just fine. And then after the updates came in, I was able to set all that back. I was able to turn IPv6 on, back on, and I was able to set to a default DNS without a problem.
I'm waiting for Bob to say you got
another subject. Sorry, Gary. I just happen to know all about this issue because I had to solve it on 6 computers over one weekend.
What was the issue other than a red dot?
It won't update.
It won't update. Every time you go to update, it'll give you a red X saying you can't update. It'll say, we'll fix this problem shortly.
Yeah.
They did fix the problem. The problem is you can't get the fix because of the problem. To your router's address. Yeah, yeah. Whenever you have the opportunity to put in DNSs, you want to have control over them. Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, under Windows, that's not very straightforward. And I think a lot of this topic isn't very straightforward to a lot of folks here. But I just happen to know everything about this particular problem. Yeah. What else do we got?
Well, if that still doesn't work, you got another solution?
It'll work. It worked every time I did it. It's worked every time I've run across the customer's computer with it. But it doesn't work if you don't restart. You have to restart.
All right, I'll try.
Yeah. And you can't shut down. You have to restart. Remember with Windows 10, if you want to make a change, you got to restart.
If you shut down, power off.
Yeah, it's the new rule. The rule has been flipped upside down. It used to be turn it off, wait 10 seconds. The rule now is restart. Yeah. I got some more one-offs if you guys are interested. Huawei's suing the U.S. government. You guys see that? Yeah, they're saying it's unconstitutional. It's a thing the U.S. government's hurting their ability to do business in the United States for for personal reasons. I'll put a link to the article. I didn't read all the way through it. I thought somebody in here would have read it. No, nobody's heard about this? Oh, wait, what do you got? Wait, whoa.
Just the same
thing. That's it?
Well, that's why the U.S. had them arrest
the second in charge, the daughter. Hey, I did learn that Huawei is a private company. I didn't realize that. Did you guys know that? That's not a public that's a privately owned company. Huawei.
So they're saying that
it's since the owner's daughter is the second in charge, I would believe it is a privately owned company. She's still in Canada.
I have to look at her own government. Never mind.
But so that's been their response. They've the last thing I read, she's still in jail in Canada, waiting extradition to the United States.
And it's a process that might take up to 5 years.
Really? Is that what you saw?
No,
5 years?
It'll change in 2020.
It'll change in 2000. You have a lot more hope for this than I do.
No, she got out.
No? Well, that must have happened recently.
Oh. She's under house arrest.
But she's back in China?
No.
No, she's not back in China. Where is she?
Canada.
She's in Canada. Under how? That's arrested. That's.
She owns her own house there. She's going to take her out. How's that?
I bet she'll be there forever. She's going to be another Snowden. She's going to be another Julian Assange. Has he gotten out of the embassy? Is he still there in the embassy?
He's still there.
Yeah.
But where is Snowden?
Russia? He's still in Russia?
Huh?
No, it's going to be interesting. I find it interesting to follow this case because it will be another Snowden. It will be there, whether it's the narrative that begins to evolve around this house arrest is going to affect politics in the future. And she could be under house arrest for many years because it's the same kind of issue. In this case, Huawei is accused of spying and treasonous activity from a U.S. perspective, which is not much different from Snowden, the U.S. perspective on what Snowden did, or the U.S. perspective on what WikiLeaks has done. So it'll be interesting to see how the narrative builds.
Also, that Huawei company supplies four times as many phones as Apple or anyone else.
I was listening to this really interesting panel talking about this, and it's mind-boggling how much equipment is out there that's Huawei. And the fear, I got caught up in the fear listening to this. I mean, like the idea that a company could flip a switch in their production, and that's the switch that makes it possible for all your data to be funneled into their services. It's not lost on me. Granted, I can probably imagine it because we've had telecoms doing it in our government since the early 2000s. So, I mean, it's a doable thing. That's the part. But whether we can fight against it or not, I don't know about that. I always keep coming back to this. We've got to have regulation that protects what happens to our private information, happens to our data, because these things are just going to happen.
I think Facebook put an end to that when they were able to spread themselves all over the world.
Yeah, the ability to distribute your information.
And sell their material to somebody else without any permission to do it.
Right, yeah. That's the reason we need regulation, is because all we're doing is we're being enlightened on what our data is already being used for. Whereas we need some legalese in place that says, no, you've broken the law doing that.
But there's also an issue that they're earning free. They're getting all this information free about
this. Well, they are. Should Facebook, you're not paying anybody. You're just giving them whatever you want to give them.
Yeah.
Whatever they want you to give them.
Privacy for service. Privacy for service is what they
Well, what they're trying to do, like what you've just said there, is they're trying to make it clear to us that you're giving up your privacy because they're providing you with a value. And so you've signed into that agreement. But I'm not certain that you signed into the agreement to have your, say you're using an app to check your blood pressure every day, and you never intended for that data to leave your app and go to Facebook. But that's happening right now. And it's happening because of some misunderstandings of the terms of service, but there's nothing illegal about that happening by accident. Facebook has come out with a statement saying this was never our intention. We didn't want this data from those applications. And maybe now that's true. At the time, I have trouble believing that they didn't. More data is better is kind of the attitude I think they would have had back in the day. Be like, oh yeah, more is better. Everything, we'll take whatever data you'll give us. It seems to me that what we need is regulation that stipulates that we have control over our data, and we can set laws saying this is the way our data is going to be used or can't be used, so that it's very clear who to go after when it's out there.
Is there any way you can restrict an algorithm?
Yeah, I don't believe you can. I what you're describing, I think technology allows us to do many things. It's the reason we are at the point we are now. I think the only thing that's going to fight that is more technology. So you want to restrict an algorithm, you can use algorithms to restrict the algorithm, and then they'll just work. It's an arms game. It's a whack-a-mole game. And that's why I keep coming back on, we need to set our culture straight. We need to understand that just because you were able to find out that I had a crying baby from a smart lamp, that you can't use that to market food to me or child services to me because it's just jamming up my lifestyle with all this junk.
Europe is getting pretty restrictive in the way they do that same sort of thing with all kinds of regulations that we haven't seen yet.
I think they're on the right track. They just haven't figured it out yet. And one of our problems is I don't think we have enough people that have a say in it. Again, I'm not about restricting businesses. I'm about protecting our information. I think that's the way it should be approached. Everything's off limits except for what we've decided is okay. And
what about Alexa? Is she collecting your information when you're on your own?
Well, we could speculate, yes. We could easily speculate that all your information is being recorded, and it's being used for their algorithms. There's probably a terms of service in there that you signed that said that was okay. Signing that terms of service was probably no more than signing up for an Amazon account, and so you've agreed to that now. And I'm not saying that's bad. What I'm saying is that when they've got that data, then how they use that should be up to us. I'm saying that if we've jumped the shark, we've gone over the edge. There is no getting any of that information back, nor should we expect to be able to stop that information from leaving our lives. That we're leaking information daily, and we've all gotten so much benefit from it that we can't stop it. We can't stop leaking this data. What we need to do is put in position in our culture what we consider to be appropriate use of that data. And we don't have any of that right now.
Can you take the Facebook page out of existence? Can you eliminate it from where it is now?
Well, the mental exercise that you're proposing has so many facets in it. Because do you mean I don't want my friends or family to see me anymore? That's pretty easy.
I don't want any information about me whatsoever. Stuff that I really put in there, give me it back. I want it.
You can ask for them because of the GDPR that you're put together. You can now go into Facebook and ask them for all the information they have on you. And you are able to delete your account so that your friends and family and services will think you don't exist any longer.
I thought you had to send them a letter.
No, they've got a delete.
They
do have a delete. Part of it, maybe it's because of the GDPR, because you're supposed to be able to remove yourself from any services that you want. But one of the things with removing yourself that people have complained about, like on Messenger, a lot of us use Messenger on our phones through Facebook. Judy and I were talking about it just at the beginning of this meeting. She'll get a message saying that I don't exist anymore. Right? And I'll have to, if I want to communicate with Judy through Messenger with a deleted Facebook account, I have to set up a new account using my phone number.
Yeah.
So, there are a lot of facets here. You can go about this trying to build armor around yourself, or you can build a culture that armors all of us on how this stuff is used. And that's what we're in the midst of doing right now, is we can play whack-a-mole, or we can just set our culture straight. These are the things we think are inappropriate for the use of our data. The moment you start using our data this way, you're in violation of our laws. Because we can't... go ahead, Chester. I'm sorry. I can rattle on about this for hours. I don't mean to.
There's a very interesting article yesterday in the USA Today having to do with hacking into your financial records, your bank account, and serious stuff that they're predicting that... I can't remember the exact date. By a certain year in the future, one third of us will have our accounts hacked.
Yeah.
And there are different things to do to
secure your
finances.
And we should always be practicing good security. I mean, that should also be part of our culture. That's what I teach my kids all the time about how passwords work and how to manage passwords. And
one of the key things they recommend is a certain book that we all three credit bureaus and opt out of any credit information on you. And then to
the
passwords that have, we've talked about those before.
Mm-hmm. The opting out of the credit stuff is a bit of a problem, right? Yeah, it seems like you can do it for a year or you can do it for 90 days, but you get opted back in because of the way, I mean, actually the credit, that's a great example of where we should be dictating the laws on how our data is used, because you are automatically opted back in. And there's some regiment of time that you can opt out. But after that's expired, your data's back in that whole system again. And that seems inappropriate. Especially when you look at all our data was stolen. That Equifax compromise where, I mean, who is Equifax really made up of? It's made up of Americans. So it's like all the personal information of the United States was all stolen in one big ball. We can't control whether this information is out there. We can just try and control. Criminals are always going to do something criminal about it. But right now, we've got our data being used to make money and compromise our security, and it's not illegal. It's completely legal. It's doing business. You're the product that's being sold.
Well, I played cards yesterday with a woman who just got notified by Best Buy. Someone tried to buy a TV with their credit card.
Oh, wow.
Well, they can't have it shipped because they'll only ship you to the address on the credit card.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? And they went in to try and pick it up, and they asked them for the credit card, and of course they didn't have a credit card. And so they were able to get them, and they didn't.
Oh, that's great.
They might have gotten one of those gas stations.
So, who knows?
Some of those gas station satellites.
That's a big scam right now, is to put a fake face on an ATM machine or a gas pump, and you're putting your card into it instead of putting it into the gas machine.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Irving.
Well, what I'm doing is the banks are themselves taking extraordinary measures to do what we're talking about.
You know, I think about the credit card companies when talking about this. I don't know anything about our laws and regulations for credit card companies. I really am just a tech guy. But it seems to me that MasterCard and Visa and Discover, they learned a long time ago the kind of risk that information being loose could be. And what they did is they set up a whole nother system of insurance And did they do that so that we wouldn't pose regulation on them? I mean, is that a self-imposed, or did we force them to do that?
Well, the amount of theft must be enormous.
I would imagine. But the amount of our concern about it is nominal. Like a credit card in Europe, you've got your card and a PIN and a chip, and they've put a lot of onus on you to get the security correct. But in the United States, it's like they don't want you to know that it could be stolen. Right. Yeah. Yeah, if they didn't...
Amazon be out open that day if they couldn't guarantee that backup over purchases and stuff like that. The US basically has said it's not worth the effort to go to the European ship and pin thing.
Yeah.
And one of the best examples of it is, if I don't know if you're aware of it, ATM run Windows XP codes.
Yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, in the credit card industry, they just assume that your information is going to be stolen and used for illegal purposes, and they insure against it. A whole other industry created just to make sure that everything's safe. Yeah. Go ahead, Bob.
You know, I don't think we can protect ourselves. Because, in our bedroom, our bathroom, on the phone, I can't tell you how many times I have given my credit card number, the expiration date, the code in the back, over the phone. I thought with my cap, and I was talking with Alexa,
mm-hmm.
I thought that I had to push the button to... My wife sat across the room and she said, "Alexa, turn off." And so you got a microphone in your television set, in your Alexa, you got a microphone.
Your thermostat, we just found out, right?
Yeah.
The
some of the ceiling fans.
Yeah.
You know,
I turn her off until I need her.
She doesn't go off.
Yeah, she does.
I love her.
She has gone off, but
the only time that I think that there's a possibility that she won't be listening is when the battery runs down.
Yeah, I think that she has to listen all the time. Because she has to be ready for what you're saying.
Yeah.
If she's not buffering it and none of that voice recognition stuff can happen in that little device, it's all happening back in some Silicon Valley data warehouse where they've got the processing power to crunch all that. I mean, that's really the paradigm that we've been following for years now is these are just windows to more processing power. That they have to be listening all the time. The difference is whether you have access to what they've heard or not and how that data is used. And right now, what protects you on how that data is used is the terms of service you agreed to, which is always up in the air for changing throughout the years. They can always change the terms of service and just send you the new change. Because of this new service we're offering, we need you to say it's okay for us to continue to provide you with service.
And they say that 42 pages.
Right. Yeah.
Tiny.
Well, the best way, if you don't want her, is just unplug her when you're not.
Yeah.
And I would argue that Alexa isn't your biggest problem. I mean, it's definitely a big problem, but it's, I mean, how can you deal with any of this? Right? How can we are not separated from our data any longer. If an algorithm right now knows every person that attended computer club in Tequila's today, because every one of us has a pocket device that tracked you to this location, right? It's all in a locations database that just a couple months ago we learned that database was up for sale through third parties. That we could buy a blob of that data, location data. We could We could buy the location blob for San Carlos, Sonora, Mexico, and we could zero in on tequilas this time period, and we could follow every one of you guys back to home or wherever your next stop was that day.
And you're photographing the suffrage every minute.
Yeah, well, I mean, what does it matter at this point? Yeah, so it's a really good example of how, I mean, this data, your data is out of your control. So what we need to do is control how it gets used. And I will get back off my soapbox and go on to the next thing in the list of topics. Does anybody have anything else? There is a new update coming to Windows today. So if you guys are wondering why your computer is running slower or it feels like you're seeing a spinning wheel more than you expect, there's a good chance your computer in the background is cranking away at the latest update. The latest update, Linda, will save us from this problem we were talking about earlier. If you can get the latest update installed, what is included is an update to remove itself. So this is the latest fix to Windows.
If I can't get it fixed, I'm bringing my computer in.
Okay. This latest update will install this debugger mode.
You
don't see it. It happens in the background. But you guys have seen a similar experience in the past, some of you, where you're trying to get an update installed, not because you chose, you're never choosing to install an update, but you turn on the computer and it says, I'm updating Windows right now. And you're like, great, go get a cup of coffee. And you come back and it's either still updating Windows or it stopped at 80%. And then it went to a black screen. And then it starts up again. And it says, recovering from update. And then you have to wait 20 minutes as it rolls everything back to the previous version of Windows. And then you can start up and use the computer until you make the mistake of shutting it off again. And then it starts that whole process again. This new update should fix that. It should recognize your computer as having a problem at startup, roll it back to the old version, and say, stop trying to do this for 30 days or until an update to this problem exists. And so that's the new update that should be rolled out with this set of updates that's coming today, which you can't get into your computer without my tech tip. But as soon as it's installed, if we have this kind of problem again, it'll roll back to the working operating system, and it will flag that update as not being installable on your computer until there's a fix for it. Yeah, Jim?
On the computers that wouldn't update like yours, Microsoft had a standalone update program that you could go to the Microsoft site in your browser.
The standalone update, like the fix the update, didn't fix it.
Yeah. Okay, that's
what I'm gonna ask. It is a kernel problem. It's right there in the, and it's an 1803 feature update that did it.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been right since, and the only way I've found to fix it is to go around the DNSing. But it works consistently. I've seen it work consistently. Like I said, I had 6 computers over a 3-day period that I was dealing with. And very frustrating. If your Windows computer is, don't call me today if your Windows computer feels slow and laggish, because it's probably getting the latest update. Well, I'm going right through all these one-offs. What else do I have here? The Samsung Galaxy S10. Do you guys see the new Samsung phone? People are laughing about how easy it is to spoof the face unlock. Apparently, it doesn't use any range sensors, so you can spoof it. They were able to spoof it with a sister of a brother was able to unlock the phone. A picture of a person was able to spoof the phone. A YouTube video of a person was able to spoof the phone. Could you imagine getting a hold of Elon Musk's phone and holding it up to one of his YouTube videos to unlock his phone? So,
I have a question. How many people in here have a password on their phone?
A password on their phone? I recommend it to all my customers. Yeah. Yeah.
Why would you go to that trouble every time you want to use it?
Why have a password?
Yeah,
so, why? Well, if somebody steals my phone, they can't get into it. And they'd have to play around and figure it out. But when I report it to Apple, even if they do crack it and get in, they can't use the phone. So I tell Apple to release it.
Maggie doesn't want her husband to get into the phone.
I'll tell you. One reason that I would be scared of my phone being unlocked and stolen would be somebody could screw with me. They could go in and they could erase all my contacts. And that would synchronize up to the Gmail server and it would synchronize to all my computers and I would lose all my contacts. Right? I carry around customer data. I don't want people to be able to just, I mean, if I left it here and went to the bathroom, I wouldn't want, yeah. Well, yeah, but there are scams around town that are like, hi, I'm your nephew coming to visit you and my car's broken down. How do you think they know who your nephew is? They look through your phone and they go, oh, there's mom, because it says mom in there.
Or they get into your email, too.
Or even better, they pick up your phone at a restaurant and it's already unlocked and your GPS has your home location. Right? So they can look right into Google Maps and see where your home is, see where your work is. I mean, there's a lot of attack surfaces there. And
14-year-old granddaughter.
Yeah?
Likes to change things on the phone.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
So every time you use the phone, you have to put in your password.
Yeah, it's a pain in the rear. When I'm traveling, for example, I take my password off if I'm driving on the highway to north. Take my password off, so if it rings, I just have to tap the button and answer. But otherwise, it's a pain.
Does your phone have a fingerprint sensor on it?
It does, but I don't use it.
Okay. I would use it.
Better than a password?
I would use it for the convenience sake. I mean, there's...
My husband can't get in there.
Well, you can register his fingerprint as well.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I would also look at, yours is iPhone, right?
Yes.
So I'm not sure, does anybody use CarPlay with the iPhone?
CarPlay?
Yeah, any experience with CarPlay?
No.
Nobody out there has any experience? CarPlay is supposed to be like Android Auto, which I have a lot of experience with.
We'll talk about that.
Mm-hmm. And if it works similar to Android Auto, I would imagine it leaves the phone unlocked.
Okay.
And ready for voice commands as well as like big buttons and stuff. Okay. But I've never used it on an iDevice.
I
don't know what it looks
Siri
like.
Without unlocking. I can't answer the phone without unlocking.
Okay. Yeah.
But if I'm parked and I want to send a message to somebody, I have to. Well, right now I have to.
What I can say about Android Auto is that it allows me to put my phone on the dash. I can watch the map. I can get at contacts. I can answer text messages through vocal commands. If I'm listening to music or I'm listening to podcasts, I've got these big buttons on the screen that I can quickly press. Makes it much, much easier to deal with. If I don't put it in Android Auto mode, every time I grab my phone, I have to unlock the phone. The screen's gone asleep. I'm not seeing what I was doing last. So it really helps in that circumstance. If I'm going into Phoenix, I've got my phone in Android Auto mode. Because I know I can just reach over, hit the map button.
It's the same thing you'd have a password on your computer or your tablet.
Yeah. Gary, hold on a second. What's that, Gary? It's an app. And I highly recommend it. I recommend it specifically for the ability to put your phone on your dash.
Yes.
Right? So you can watch your GPS. You can receive phone calls. You can receive text messages. You can listen to music. And it all happens with big buttons that are easy to hit. Your voice assistant can be on so you can talk to the phone. For me, the most powerful tool it's given me is I can turn on Android Auto, have it running. The screen never goes to sleep, so I never have to unlock the phone again.
Does that run your battery down faster?
It does.
If
if I don't use a phone for, I don't know, 30 seconds or
minutes, it'll stay on the whole time. Yeah. But with Android Auto, it'll leave it on. That's right. And then when it's on, you can have it set so your voice assistant works. So you can do things like, how do I get to tequilas?
Yes.
And it'll hear you say that, it'll map out the route, and it will start the route by default.
Yeah, because
this will happen across any of those features. Yeah.
I don't have this on, but this is limit Wi-Fi. Turn Wi-Fi off when Android Auto is running over USB.
Right.
Are you supposed to have that on?
I wouldn't mess with it at all. Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah. I just leave it alone.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it says connected cars. Manage cars with connected cars.
You need data on your cell plan to take advantage of many of the features. And what Android Auto does, and I do know CarPlay does, is it couples with a car screen. So you're able to cast or control, depending on where you are in the feature set. You're able to cast like a Chromecast to your car screen and control things on that screen.
Okay, so this is always preview.
Yeah, it depends on the car. I'm sorry, Linda, what's that?
This says always preview messages, display first party messages.
Okay, I'm not going to run through the whole setting set. I wouldn't mess with anything. I would start using it, and then when there are features that you can't use or aren't working for you, then I would start working in the settings. I would never start a new app by screwing around with the settings. I'm recommending it because I know it works right out of the box without changing anything. So there are certain circumstances where, say you've got one of those nice Teslas or something like that that has a really nice interface in the dash. Well, CarPlay and Android Auto have been built to connect to the dash,
yeah,
so you can use the dash instead of your phone.
That's cool.
But that same app, if you don't have, like I don't have a nice dash screen, I have only my phone. I have a clamp I can put my phone in. So that app does all the same thing right from its screen.
So the phone casts it onto that screen, and you can use the screen itself, and not have to use the phone.
You can, as long as the screen and the phone are both compatible.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so then this says use Bluetooth. Turn Bluetooth on when Android Auto is running.
So that's a neat feature because many people turn off their Bluetooth for security and for battery. And so what that would do is the moment you started Android Auto, it would turn on your Bluetooth so you're ready to Bluetooth to your sound system. Right? So all other cases, you probably have Bluetooth off. You might be one of those people. But when you start Android Auto, it automatically turns it on.
Okay, but what's the difference between Android Auto and getting your calls on your cell phone onto your screen?
Yeah, so Android Auto.
That.
What's that?
That already does that.
Right, but it doesn't do map and sound system control and speech services.
Voice.
Yeah, all at the same time. And that's why it's a nice package that's pulled it all together for you. And one of the most powerful uses that I use it for all the time is I'll get a text message, and it'll come up on my screen. It'll say, you've got a text message from, for example, Yuya.
Yeah.
Would you like to hear it? And I'll say, yes, and it'll read me the text message. And it'll ask me if I want to reply, and I'll say yes. And so it will listen for my reply. And so I'll tell it what I want to say. And then it'll read me back what I told it to say to verify that it makes sense as a text message. And I'll say no or yes, and I'll send it on its way. And I haven't had to touch the phone at all. Very powerful from behind a wheel.
You put that Waze in your phone, right, Irvin? That Waze.
Waze is the most
popular. Okay, so this says Android Auto Essentials, and one of them is that Waze.
Could be, yeah.
So you should put Waze in?
I'm not recommending these other... I'm not recommending changing settings. I'm not recommending specific apps with this app, though I have a lot of experience with the podcast, Podcast Addict. I think it's great in that app.
So you can put that iHeartRadio in here too.
Mm-hmm.
Which ways would go to? It's better than any GPS system you can buy.
Yes.
I live on a street with a little street above me that when I put on Waze, it had the name of the street. I didn't even know it had a name. You can go to the town and every street, red Cheetos, and it tells you
yeah.
the street. And no GPS that I have.
Waze also takes your input. And so people are constantly putting in where there's an accident, where there's a police, where there's a stop car.
Right. Yeah, in fact, didn't they get into trouble for a little bit in some municipalities because they were saying where the speed traps were? And so users of Waze would be able to, oh, hey, they've got cops down that way.
I like that.
Does it have a fuzz
buster? It's essentially what it was turning into as a fuzz buster.
Say hi to your wife.
Okay, I'll do that.
You
have a good week.
Well, guys, we've kind of reached the end. We're over again by 21 minutes.
Gosh, you're interesting.
I'm glad other people, I thought it was only me that felt that way.